And, you know, when you get excited, things miss. So put that in your phone so that when you do need me, you can definitely call. And I put on there, yes, I text. And also, the another thing, if you want to get on the internet, if you got a Bible on your phone or whatever, the password there is B-O-H-GUEST, B-O-H-GUEST, all lower caps, or lowercase. So, amen. We're in Mark chapter 4 today, in a very, very familiar portion of Scripture. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, and I've titled this sermon, Who is this guy Jesus? On the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, Let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. And he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, we come before you today. And Lord, we know in part who you are. Like Daniel just prayed, you are the good, good Father. You are the master of the seas, obviously, Lord. I pray, Lord, today that, Lord, I know in my spirit you have something to say to these people. And I'm asking you, Lord, to use me. Speak through me. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, don't let me be offensive on my own accord. But Father, I pray that you would just speak words of life, words of truth, in such a spirit that we would all hear the Spirit of God today. Jesus, you have our attention. I pray, Lord, that you would change us today into the image of Christ. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus gave a command, not a suggestion, to his disciples. And he says, guys, let's go to the other side of the lake. This is the Sea of Galilee. And they're crossing it. I forgot how many miles across. I think it's either 5 or 8 miles to go across it. So he told them, let's get over there and go to the other side. And one of the little statements that you may not have recognized is they said that other boats went with them. So what you're seeing is their crowd is increasing. And they're beginning to take more people with them. So it's not just the 12 disciples and Jesus anymore. There's people that are gathering around him. You also see that Jesus is probably exhausted after he has spent all day ministering to people and touching people's lives. He's exhausted. I mean, he goes in the boat and it just seems like immediately he just falls right to sleep. And one of the things about the Sea of Galilee is a storm can kick up like that. And that's what happened. They actually, I've read on this that said this could have almost been like a tsunami. That the waves would have, this is not just a little dark thunderstorm that West Tennessee has all the time. This was a storm that could have easily capsized that boat. One version of said a mega storm. Another version that I read called it a squall. Is that right? Squall or squail? Squall. So this was, it was... Don't be too hard on the disciples, okay? This was life-threatening because these were not novices at the helm of a boat. These guys knew what they were doing. And for them to be scared, we would have been leaking, okay? Our pants would have been wet and not because of the water coming over the boat. This would have scared anyone. And they were scared. And so finally they think, What are we doing? We're getting ready to die. Let's wake him up. See if he can do anything about this, or at least wake him up so we can get him out of the boat too. I'm not for sure. But they come to Jesus with a, I don't want to say a hateful question, but something that probably shouldn't have been said. And he says, "Do you not care?" You know, sometimes when you're going through something, it's real easy to go to the Lord and say, "Do you not even care? Do you understand what I'm going through? Are you there?" Don't you think it's sort of hateful that people would ask the man who cares more than anyone, "Do you not care?" And I think probably every one of us in this room have approached the throne room of God at some point in your life with a statement like that. Do you even care? Do you even know I exist? Do you know what I'm going through? You said you wouldn't put anything on us that we could not bear without making a way of escape. Well, I don't see a way of escape. I've said this often to the Lord. You obviously think I'm stronger than I think I am because you keep letting me go through this stuff. So you see something in me that I don't. Jesus gets up and he rebukes the waves, and immediately they calm down. And it says, after a storm like this, you would expect the waves to still be, even though the storm has died down, you would still expect the waves to be, you know, pretty bad. But from the commentators I read, it says, after he spoke to the wind, it was like a glass sea. Perfect peace. I think it's really interesting what he said. Peace, be still. That doesn't make sense to me, quite honestly. I mean, I've probably read that and thought about this 1,000 times over the last week. Why didn't you say, "Hey, knock it off. You know, stop that." But he doesn't say that. He said, "Peace, be still." Why did he say peace? And then he looked at his disciples and he asked them two questions. He said, "Do you still have no faith? You guys have been walking with me day in and day out for a long time. Do you still have no faith?" And the first question was, "Why are you so afraid?" And I think that bears asking today. Why are you so afraid? Now see, the scenario would be different probably for each one of us. But the truth of the matter is Christians deal with fear pretty regularly. Fear of failure. Fear of collapse. Fear of our health failing. Just a lot of different types of fear. And Jesus is saying, why? What reason do you have to be walking in fear? The reason is you obviously don't know who you are. Because if you knew who you are, no fear. Because we're people of faith. We are His kids. Why are we so afraid? Christians, we need to develop a calm in the storm. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because the storm is coming. If you are not in a storm right at this moment, I've got a prophecy for you. It's on its way. The storm is coming, I promise you. Now, for those of you that are in the storm, I hope this message encourages you. For those of you that are right now at a time of peace, wake up. Enjoy your peace, but wake up. It's coming. We cannot control our circumstances. Turbulent times are coming, and how you respond to those turbulent times will basically predict your future. We need to apply a calm, steadying influence for everyone to see. What has my attention? What is, you know, when I would have a problem at work at the Senior Citizen Center, something would break down. We had about 10 employees, and the employees would all, every one of them would do the same thing. Well, so-and-so did this, and that caused the problem. Sort of like Adam. Well, it's that woman you gave me, Lord, you know. And we do that in our life, right? When you have a problem, we're looking for someone to blame for our problem. And that will not fix your problem. I used to tell my staff all the time, I don't care who did what. Let's address the problem, not work on people at this moment. You know, let's fix the problem. That's what you need to do it. Let's fix the problem. I can tell you who you can blame. Blame Satan. Because in the garden, they didn't have problems. Right? All this garbage came after the fall. So if you want to blame somebody, don't blame God. Blame Satan. But let's fix the problem. Rather than walking in fear, let's go through this thing. Not bury our head in the sand, but face it head on. The Bible says that fear has torment. How many of you would say, I can say amen to that? And I'm not just saying being afraid of the dark. I'm saying are afraid of spiders. There's all kinds of phobias, right? There's, you know, if the quickest way I could get you out of the door would be to grab a snake up here and start playing with snakes, and this crowd would leave pretty quick and probably never come back, most of you. Why? Because most people have a fear of snakes. But that's not what Paul told us to do. He got bit by a viper that should have killed him in seconds, and he just shook it off in the fire. Why? He knew who he was. He knew who he was. So let's talk a little bit this morning about fear, and why is it still part of my life? Can we go there for a minute? In Isaiah 41:10, he says, "So do not fear, for I am with you." That ought to calm your fears. In anything that you're going through, those first few words ought to calm your fears. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I'll help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Most of us enter into fear because we think we have to fix our own problems. Lord, I've got to figure this thing out. I'm not that smart. And he says, lean on me. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. In other words, I purchased you. I have summoned you by name. John is not number 1362594 in the kingdom of God. He's John. God knows him by name. He knows your wife. He knows your son. The Bible says, God, can you imagine this? You see, when people call me and they say, will you pray for this? If I barely know them, I hate to say this, but most of the time I barely pray. Now, I will pray, but my prayer is not real intimate. Lord, bless so-and-so. They're going through a difficult time. Bless them. Help them. But when I know that person, where there's intimacy and a relationship, and all of a sudden they're going through great difficulty, my prayer changes. Why? Because I know them. I love them. So I come before the throne room of God. God, help them. Lord Jesus, stand with them. Guide them. Give them what they need. There's an intensity, right? There's a fervency. Why? Because I have a relationship with them. He knows you by name. There is a relationship with Him. The Bible says that Jesus sits on the right hand of God, ever interceding for us. Do you think He's praying a little canned prayer? Lord, you see Sheila, you better do something. She's in a mess again. I don't believe that. I believe she's saying, Father, that's mine. I have purchased her. But I also want you to know, He says, when you pass through the water, when you go through the fire, He doesn't say if. He says when. You are going to be going through some deep water. You're going to be going through some fire because it purifies you. He says, but you're not going through it alone. I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. Psalm 34:4, David says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. 46:1, he prays again. He says, God is my refuge and my strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. You see, when fear tries to come upon you, if you can just understand, He is with you. Why did the disciples get in so much fear? Jesus is in the boat. Even though He's sleeping, He's in the boat. Did they miss the sins when He said, hey guys, let's go to the other side? That's the only thing they needed to act upon. No matter what happened, they could stay on that word, we're going to the other side. Unfortunately, it was a logos word to them. Good morning, how are you? That's just a logos. But when I look at you and I say, so good to see you, I love you, I've missed you, that could be a rhema word. It becomes alive. You see, if they had understood the power of the Word of God, He said, we're going to the other side. That's all I need. Why does that matter? Because what has the Lord told you? See, it's very possible that the Lord has given you instruction. He says, you're doing this, or I've called you to do that. And I will guarantee you that all hell will break loose before you get to that place. Satan wants to make sure you do not get to the destiny that God has called you to. So he will try to deter you. What you do is you've got to stand on the Word of God. He said that I am to do this. Doesn't matter the circumstances, it's going to happen. Psalms 56:3, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. I love that. Psalms 118:6, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can man do to you? He can't even take your life. You may think, well, man can kill me. Mm-mm. Not unless the Lord removes His hedge. He can't even kill you. Kerry Vine told me the other day, he said, it's hard for a spirit-filled man to be killed. Satan's got to get permission. Matthew 6:34, he says, therefore, don't worry. We could preach a sermon all day right there. Do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Mark 5:36, don't be afraid, only believe. We'll be preaching on that in the next week or two. Don't be afraid. just believe. 14:27 of the book of John says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." That is God's word to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Trust in me. Trust in God. 1 John 4:18, there is no love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment or torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. There is no fear. There is no fear in this feeling we call love. Did you hear me read that that way? That's not what the word says. Because love is not a feeling. You see, love is a person. God says that I am love. God is a spirit. God said, I am love. There is no fear in God. When you walk in Him, fear can't penetrate that. When you understand God is love and God is with me, I can overcome this. There's no fear there. And 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul is writing to his son in the faith, and he says these very powerful words. He says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind," or a self-disciplined. So let's read that one more time and stop where you need to stop. God did not give us a spirit. I hope you're awake, because you need to hear these next few words. Fear is a spirit. It travels in unison with worry and anxiety. So these spirits come together. We live in a society that is medicating what only God can deliver you from. Amen. Amen. You cannot medicate a spirit out of you. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. That was not... Never even thought about that, but that was pretty good. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You can't medicate a spirit. You got to understand, I am not dealing with something, I am not dealing with an emotion. I am dealing with a spirit. The spirit of fear. Some people, you actually live in this. Go back a verse, fear has torment. That's the way you would describe your life. Because every day you get up, you're walking in fear. And God said, I've not given my kids a spirit of fear. So then who gave it to you? The devil. It's not of God's. Not the kingdom. Don't we all get afraid once in a while? Yeah. That's really not what I'm talking about at this moment. I'm talking about those of you that you live in this. Maybe some of you don't even understand this right now. But there are people that wake up in a spirit of fear. And it torments their life. And God has sent me today to tell you, you don't have to live that way any longer. Because He didn't give you that spirit. He gave you a spirit of power. Of love. And soundness of mind. To some of you that's never been here, you have no understanding to what it's like to think you're losing your mind. I know what it's like. I've been there. I've been to the place where I couldn't focus my eyes. Had no attention span whatsoever. Why? Because of fear. Anxiety. Nervousness. You can't eat. You try eating and you throw it up. That's real for some people. God's not asked you to live that life. Paxil. All the drugs on the market cannot fix what God can do in a few seconds. God can deliver you from a spirit of fear, of worry, and anxiety so that you walk in peace. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. How, Pastor? How do I get to that? The last verse on this page, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Some of you, listen to me, some of you cannot even comprehend that first sentence. You say, you don't understand, Pastor, I'm anxious about everything. That's just who God created me to be. No, you're wrong. You are wrong. I'm sorry. You may be an uptight person. You may be a personality A, charge the hill. But God has not created you to be anxious. And let me just tell you something. If God's got a plan for your life, God does have a plan for your life, He will not cause you to be anxious about it. The devil will. He will push you and say, you got to be doing this, you got to be doing, you got to be doing, you got to be doing, you got to do. That's not of God, folks. I think Jesus says, would you take a chill pill? Hey, I operate out of time. I don't operate in your time. Let's just chill out for a moment and get our act together. Don't you think that's today? That's what he would have said to the disciples. Take a chill pill, boys. What are you talking about? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You see, if you got a problem, if you got a problem with anxiousness, you got a problem with worry, a problem with fear, he just gave you the solution right there. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You may not can remember those two verses, but you can remember six words, can't you? Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. It's that simple. So when you wake up in the morning and anxiety is already there, you can't even open your eyes without feeling that feeling. It's not a feeling, it's a spirit. You tell yourself, worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Anxiety, fear, worry, get out of here. In the name of Jesus. God's not called you into that life. Why did the disciples not understand it? Psalms 119, verse 49. David says, remember your word to your servant, which caused me to hope. You see, if you can just remember the instruction that God gave you last, you can get to the other side. Remember your word to your servant. You shall not die, but you will live and declare the praises of God. He who began a good work in you will perform it. What's everybody look? Okay. I can't out-preach that, I know. Let's go back for just a second and think about those words he spoke. Peace, be still. You see, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Most of us think, well, that's talking about whatever situation I go, I carry peace with me. And I believe that is part of the meaning of that. But I believe we've figured out another deeper meaning to that verse. Some of you ain't gonna like this. I can command peace because I have delegated authority through Jesus Christ. You see, any one of those disciples could have done what Jesus did, but they had no knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's what the Word of God says. I am dispensing knowledge right now to you. For you to understand, you can make your peace. You speak to your storm. You call peace like it is. You call it into your situation. Pastor, you don't understand. My family is falling apart. I mean, we're just fighting with each other and we're doing this and we're doing that. Wake up. You command peace in the midst of a storm. Pastor, you don't understand. My marriage is falling apart. You command peace. Pastor, there's just sometimes when my wife gets up or my husband gets up and they just have a look about them. They just want to fight. I understand that. That used to happen to me. I used to wake up with a spirit of fight. Treva wouldn't fight with me. I'd try to get in a fight with one of my kids. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I am not teasing with you. And it wasn't until my eyes were open that I was waking up in a bad spirit that I could take authority over that spirit. When your spouse wakes up, now this is one of these things that you probably need to do under your breath. You can command peace in your house. Lord, I speak peace into this house right now. I say that spirit has to leave in Jesus' name. You see, we don't understand who we are. Those disciples, Jesus made peace come into the being, calm the seas. And then I think he went back and went to sleep. Wake me up when we get there now, boys. And they're looking at each other. Who is this guy? Who is he? Who knew? We knew he could heal the sick. We knew he could raise the dead. But who knew he could speak to a storm? You know, we've got the book. They were living it. But we get to learn from their example. So what are you going to do with this story, guys? Are you going to do with this story the same that you did when you learned it in children's church or a junior class? I've known that story all my life. I know, we've known a lot of stories about Jesus all of our life. And we haven't acted upon one of them. It's time we cease the knowledge and start putting some things into practice. You have to understand that when he died, he delegated his authority to you. You are a child of God. Amen. The very nature that flowed through Jesus now resides in you. The authority that he walked in, the power of his words now abides in you. If you abide in him and his word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it'll be done. Amen. I'm not making that stuff up. It's John 15:7. That verse still blows my mind. I am telling you, command your day. Quit letting Satan beat you. You're not listening to me. Give me a couple more minutes. You are letting Satan steal your joy. You're letting him steal your future. And I come to tell you by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, you have the authority to change this. You can medicate it, and it's ineffective. Or you can speak to it, and it will change. That's powerful, guys. That's really powerful. And some of you I know are sitting there thinking, I just don't think it's that easy. I never said it was easy. Did you hear me say that was easy?
No.
That comes through relationship. That comes by understanding who you are. See, most of you still get your identity by what the world is telling you about yourself. Oh, you're so pretty. Who cares if you're pretty? What is that going to solve? Nothing. What matters is what you know in the Spirit. Have you got this book in your heart? In your mind? So that you're not just speaking those silly little thoughts that you have. So that every time anxiety happens, you're just falling apart. Stop it! You're a son or a daughter of God. Start acting like it. Start commanding things that can be. If you'll quit talking about your problem, start speaking the Word of God, some things will change in your life. You know as well as I do, that is not for the faint in heart. Some of you think I'm absolutely a fool. Because this is foolishness to some of you. But there's some of you in this room that you know when you hear truth. And that's truth. And you can leave today and change your future. Do you hear me? You can change your future. Not God. You can change your future through His Word. Speaking His Word. The storm will come, I promise you. What is your determination the next time the storm comes? Do you have it within yourself to be a peacemaker? I hope you see that verse in a new light today. I hope you see it with the authority of God's Spirit that says, I'm not going to let things just happen to me anymore. I am going to happen to my circumstance. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The same way He spoke to a storm and it stopped immediately, you can speak to that storm that you're in. Depression is a spirit. Worry, anxiety, fear, it's a spirit, guys. It is not an emotion. It's a spirit. You're not playing with something that's simple. It's a spirit. You must take authority over that spirit. I know I'm beating the horse, but I feel like I've got to drive this down to you. You've got to get this one. Because days are not getting better. They're getting worse. And we better start changing the structure of our future by being peacemakers. Peace. Really? Come on, Jesus. Just tell the wind to stop it. But He didn't. He said, peace. Peace. He commanded peace in the middle of a storm. That ought to speak to somebody's heart. Stand with me. Treva, come on. Hallelujah. You see now why I printed those verses off? Because you could hear this sermon and you could say, for those of you that agree with me, you could say, that's a great sermon, Pastor Eric. And I will enjoy hearing you say that, but that won't buy you anything. Until you get that word in your heart, you will not live the life that I'm telling you you can live. Once you understand that worry and fear is a spirit and you have control of that and you are a son of God, you are a peacemaker, I can command peace into my situation, that will change your life. I noticed something about being a pastor. Some of you are drama queens. You go from one drama to another. And I don't mean that disrespectful in any way. But I just think, dear God, don't they know there's something better out there than that? There's something better than just going, living in the drama. I hate drama. I want peace. I grew up in drama. A lot of drama. We were going to get married. I was 18 years old. I looked at Treva one day and I said, Treva, if we're going to fight continually, I am not marrying you. I've had that. I grew up in that. I want no part of it. So when I get mad, you got to get quiet. I didn't say that. But I'm going to tell you, and I would never tell you we've never fought. We have fought. We've had plenty of exciting times in our marriage. But I will tell you, with wisdom comes some understanding. I hope you're hearing the wisdom of God today. Because the understanding is, I can live differently. I want to take a time. I promise you I will not prolong this service. But I want to take a time when you need to respond. Those of you, and I know some of us, it's like, oh, I don't want to admit that's me. Well, baby, we know it's you. Every one of us. This is an easy spirit to identify on people. So humble yourself. Come to this altar and let God do something in a few seconds that there is not a medication on the market that can change. That's the altar call. Come on down. If that's you, if you want to be set free, if you want the power to control things in your life, come down. Just gather in a little closer together. I appreciate your honesty. You see, God cannot do anything in your life until there's a humble spirit. And this is humility. This is when you say, God, that's me. I need you. Now I'm going to ask our deacons, our other ministers, to file in here behind folks. And just spread out and begin to pray. But when you pray, you have to first admit, Lord, that's me. I need your help in this. And I want you to understand something really, really clear. You're dealing with a spirit. A spirit must be broken off your life by the power of the Holy Ghost. So that's what you need to ask the Lord. Lord, I'm asking you to break this off of me today. Now, that doesn't mean you have to get emotional. Doesn't mean you have to act weird. You may have no emotion with this, but you understand when you ask, He responds. The Bible says we have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss. In other words, we ask not in a spirit of faith. Is there anyone here that you wouldn't come forward if you didn't believe God could do this for you, right? You believe that God is able to break this? You believe that tomorrow could be a set-free day for the rest of your life? Because now you have knowledge. You are a peacemaker. You bring the peace into your life by speaking the Word of God. Lift your hands before the Lord and surrender to Him. Father God, I thank You, Lord Jesus, for the honesty of each and every person. Father, I know that there are those here today, Lord, that there's different levels of this Spirit that's operating in their life. Father, and You know, Lord, it's no different to You, Lord, whether someone is barely dabbling with it or someone's, Lord, literally under the control of that Spirit, Father. But Father, I pray right now as these people have humbled themselves, Lord, they've submitted themselves to You. They are resisting the devil. They're drawing near to You. I pray now that the Spirit of God would break that off of them in Jesus' name. Lord, let Your Spirit break that spirit of fear, Lord Jesus. Break anxiety. Break worry in Jesus' name. Break it off their life. Let them go free. Father, You said those things that we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. We bind this spirit. You're the one that called it a spirit of fear, Father. You're the one that opened our eyes to this. The spirit of fear, we bind You in Jesus' name over these lives. Lord, in the same verse that You said we have the power to bind, You said that we have the power to loose. So, Father, I loose the spirit, Lord, of peace. The spirit of peace, we loose it in their lives, Lord, to take authority, to have dominion in their life. Jesus, where there was fear, now we command peace. I pray the authority of the Word of God over them so that they can direct their day from now on. And when that spirit tries to come back, which he will, we take authority over it by the Word of God. We command it to leave. We command it to leave. We command the spirit of peace in our life. We are the sons of God. You have given us the authority to operate in this word that You have given us. This word today has become rhema to us. We understand the deeper meaning of this. It's not just about the boys being on the lake and a little storm coming up. It's about me living in hell on my days on earth. And You said I can break out of that. Anxiety, I cast you out in Jesus' name. Spirit of death, you're gone. Pack your bags. Depression, pack your bags. I pray in Jesus' name, these spirits are broken off of these. Let them go free, Jesus. Go free to worship You. Go free in Jesus' name. Speak it over yourself. Speak it over yourself, guys. Command it to be gone. You have the authority. It's in your voice. It's in your words. Use your words. Tell the devil to take a hike. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing that.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Say it again. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Hallelujah.
I'm going to read it instead of just quote it. Yesterday, I don't want to belabor this, but yesterday, about noon, I started feeling anxiousness in my heart, right? My heart, I mean, your heart starts to race. There's more than just your mind's a little frazzled. Physically, it affected me, right? And I kept telling Manny, I don't know what's going on with me, because this is not me, because I know who I am. And I know that anxiety is not part of the inheritance. It's not part of the promise that died at the cross. I know that guy's dead. I'm walking in the newness of life. And I still struggle with it this morning until I started to teach, and it just lifted off of me. So also, just I know this is a form of anxiety, but if you deal with panic attacks, okay, because some guys, they go to the hospital, they think they're having a heart attack. It grips them so strong. I'm going to read this because I believe that the Word of God is mighty in pulling that stronghold. So raise your hand with me. And this just kind of sums everything up today. So the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel.